Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities, and you can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter. I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitU, Tom Tresser, or the TIFF Illumination Project. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofitu_u. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must first open a listener-only account. You'll find a link to open the account on the episode page, and you can also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Today's episode is TIFF Notes. We'll discuss the pros and cons of TIFFs and the TIFF Illumination Project's programs, services, as well as their advocacy. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chat at about the 20-minute mark, and the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals, educators, and community stakeholders are especially encouraged to call in and share your stories. Our guest for today is Tom Tresser. He's the co-founder of the TIFF Illumination Project, and Tom is an educator, organizer, creativity champion, public defender, and fighter of privatization, and many more things. He has been doing civic engagement and grassroots democracy for over 40 years, and his first voter registration campaign was in 1972. I can't believe that. And he's been engaging voters on issues that impact our daily lives ever since. So you've been doing this before you were born, right, Tom?
That's right. I used to have hair, you know. But yeah, I've been in the democracy vineyard for a while. Thank you for bringing me on your show.
Okay, well, thank you. And I want folks to know that you're the lead organizer for the TIFF Illumination Project, and you guys have been investigating and explaining the impacts of TIFFs. And TIFF stands for Tax Increment Financing. So you've been looking at all of the districts in Chicago and looking at them on a ward-by-ward basis. And I want folks to know that you and the TIFF Illumination Project are profiled on the cover story of the July 22nd, 2013 issue of The Nation. And that story is entitled Chicago Rising. And Tom has presented on how TIFFs impact neighborhoods all over the city. In 2014, Tom was named fellow by the Encore Foundation, which recognizes change agents over the age of 60. And again, who knew Tom was even 60? I certainly didn't. And he was, I really didn't. You got so much energy, I tell you. And much to the chagrin of the powers that be, right? So Tom was named a Best of Chicago 2015 Best Activist in the Interest of the Public Defense by New City Magazine. And you'll find a full bio for Tom and a link to the TIFF Illumination Project website on my blog, Nonprofit U. Look under the episode 28, TIFF Notes. Go to valeriefleonard.com/nonprofitu and click onto the episodes page. So again, Tom, thanks so much for coming onto the show.
No, you're welcome. Always happy to talk TIFFs.
Okay, great. Can you tell us what a TIFF is and why TIFF residents, or rather folks who live in TIFF areas and nonprofits, you know, why should we care?
Well, as you said, it stands for Tax Increment Financing, and it is a device used by cities or municipalities primarily all across the country to spur development, economic development. And so there's a place to put an asterisk or a placeholder for people to meditate on what does that exactly mean and who defines what a developed community looks like. So in Chicago, we have an issue before we get any further of discussing or just noting, let's say, noting that Chicago has a history of planning stuff for people that they don't necessarily like. And that includes not just the built environment, but programmatically as well, how the city operates and where it builds things and whether a school is opened or not opened or whether a police shoot you or don't shoot you. There's a lot of problems with that term, and I guess one way for the listeners to think about it is just to keep in mind the question of who plans what for who. Because then the planning dollars, that are showered on projects, follow that conundrum. So if we understand who plans what for who, and we appreciate and understand that, we may not agree with it, then we can understand where dollars get placed, who parks dollars where for what. So TIFs are to be used for parts of our city or our environment that is so-called blighted. So there's another problematic term. And again, in Chicago, which has an unfortunate history of segregation, redlining, blockbusting, predatory lending, and redlining, usually affecting people of color and people of modest means, we have to say who blighted who. But again, that's probably another conversation for another day. But nevertheless, that is the distinction that people use when they administer these TIF programs. So they say there's an area of your city that's blighted, which means the market has fled. You can't do business in a normal fashion in such a blighted area. And so a developer, someone who wishes to build a project like a little mall or a housing project or maybe put a Dominick's or a Walgreens or something like that, normally when they build a project, they just take a loan and they construct their project and price it for what the rents would bear, and they go into business, and there you go. But what developers would say for a blighted community is, we can't make a project work in this troubled area because the banks won't lend me money, or they won't lend me money that will make my project work. It's too high. They're passing the risk on. They would say to Tom, all right, Tom, you want to build a little mall with the dry cleaners and a 7-Eleven, et cetera, in this blighted community. We think it's going to fail. So there's, again, a kind of another whole unspoken question about people of modest means in these so-called blighted communities presumably are riskier. They have no money, or maybe they're thieves. Or, there's a lot of unquestioned assumptions going on here. But nevertheless, the bank would say to me, Tom, therefore, we would give you a loan to build your project at 25 points or something because we don't think it's too risky. And I would say, well, I can't make my project work because to borrow money at such a high rate, I would have to charge rent so high that no one would be able to come into this little mall. So I wonder if there's anybody who can help me. And the city of Chicago would say, yes, there is. There is a tax increment financing program, Tom. And so you're a little strip mall that you'd like to build in this blighted community, which would cost $30 million if you're going to do it yourself at these rates. We're going to give you up to 30% of that. We're going to give you, $6 million. Free cash money. It's not a loan. It's only for construction. So I can't hire teachers with this money. I can't hire after-school homework helpers. I can't hire librarians. I can't hire park district coaches to take care of kids after school. I can't do any of that. But if it passes muster, I can get this money to help me build my little project. Now, I own the project. The city doesn't have any stake in it. It's a one-way ticket, a gift of money. But I have to put this little project inside a TIF zone, in a TIF district. Now, if there is no TIF district, the city might be happy to draw me one. So right now, the city of Chicago has about 150 TIF districts that are all over the map. And so this process has been going on in Chicago since 1986. So about a third of all the land mass of the city of Chicago is in one of these bad boy TIF districts. And projects have happened all up and down in these districts where money has been given from the city to these developers. Now, the way it works is, this is where the word increment comes in, is when a TIF district is drawn up to, say, support my little mythical project, my little mall, and they draw the TIF district boundaries, they will count the number of properties inside the boundaries of this zone, and they will take a note of how much property taxes all those properties are producing. So say there's 100 properties producing $1,000 of property tax. So
okay,
that's
and
made
these can
note
be residential
of.
Properties or commercial properties, right?
Yes, any
okay.
property that's in the zone.
Okay.
Now, our listeners need to put another pause here to remember what's the deal with property tax? Why should we be mindful of our property taxes, aside from the fact that, you know, they're a big ticket in most people's budgets? Now, even if a person doesn't actually own their property, they're still paying property taxes through their rent.
Right.
But many people do own their property, and it could be that many of our listeners are property owners. So you definitely want to know what's going on with your property tax, because in a place like Chicago, inside the state of Illinois, property taxes are really important for running local units of government, mainly our public schools. So now you can put another placeholder and another aside, another asterisk, for people to consider and dwell on the importance of public education in the city or in the life of our country or our democracy or, what do people feel about the importance and the primacy of public education, you know, in our communities? I mean, do we not think it's important to have really excellent public schools? And so there's a whole separate program that, you know, for our conversation, we have to remember that the state of Illinois, unfortunately, relies very, very heavily on property taxes to fund our public schools. So if someone is listening to this program and they're in Connecticut or, you know, another state, it's not the same by them. But in the state of Illinois, because we have a very regressive income tax situation, the burden of public education, funding it, unfortunately, falls very heavily on a local city or a township or a village. So if your area has a lot of good properties and it produces a lot of revenue, your schools will have more money. Same thing for Chicago. In the city of Chicago, about 56 cents of every dollar collected by the property taxes is supposed to go to the Board of Education. So if you have children in public schools, you know, and you own property, then you really want to pay attention to what we're talking about here, because this really does affect us quite powerfully in the bottom line. I know it sounds kind of geeky and, you know, insider baseball, but it's pretty powerful stuff. So, okay, so
yeah,
we want
to
make
know
sure
because they're paying for it.
They are. So if a dollar of property tax goes missing in some way, if it's taken off the line of fire, if it's removed from play, so to speak, there are losers in that equation, and the biggest loser would be public education, because they have 56 cents less of that dollar that they were thinking that they were going to get. Okay, so as I say, in our little scenario, there's 100 properties in our little TIF district throwing out $1,000. So that $1,000 is going to all the units of government as we start our little process. So that would be $560 going to the Board of Education in the case of Chicago. Well, now it's a year or two later, and now there are more properties that are built, including mine, my little mall. That wasn't there before, so now that's a new property. And hopefully property values are going up in our little community anyway. So now it's like 5 years later, and instead of 100 properties, there's 110 properties. And instead of $1,000 in property tax being thrown off by these properties, it's $1,500. Well, this is where the TIF comes in. The increment is collected by the TIF district, that $500. Mm-hmm. It's vacuumed up by the TIF district and kept off the table. The $1,000 that was being collected is still being collected by the Board of Ed and the Park District and the libraries. They're still getting their $1,000. But this new money, this increment, that has been generated over the last 5 years of our little mythical TIF, that money is not available to the units of local government. It is sequestered in what I consider an off-the-books operation. And so that money is then would be used primarily to pay a loan back, because remember, the city gave me $6 million. So if they took a loan out, then that TIF might be used to repay the loan, or it might, if in our little exercise, the TIF district had already been there and it might have had cash in it, it's possible that that there was money in the TIF already to pay me, in which case the TIF, the little piggy bank, refills itself every year. It just keeps getting fatter and fatter. So that's essentially how the tax increment financing works, and it's, as I say, a very big deal in the city. It's present all across Illinois and 47 states.
Wow. And that's the short discussion, right?
That's the short version. People can go online at tiffreports.com. We've got a couple of cheat sheets, and we have some videos that explain it there. But tiffreports.com is our little headquarters where people can go into this in further detail if they want.
Right. And the scary thing is, over time, the analysis will show that, you know, when the TIFs start off, 100% of the taxpayers' money is going into that TIF district. But as the TIF gets older and older, you can conceivably get to a point where 100% of the taxes generated in a tax increment finance district are really not going to the city coffers, but they're, you know, stuck in that one district.
It will never, only if there was nothing producing revenue beforehand. So it's very rare, but most TIFs are created where there's already properties. So, but the change, what you're calling the delta, the increment, does get pretty steep. And in over 20 TIF districts right now in the city of Chicago, over 90% of all the taxes collected by the TIF go to the TIF.
Right. So that's
and it's a lot of money, and it amounts to approximately $500 million every year. So $500 million of property taxes collected by property owners all across the city of Chicago are put into this, what I consider to be a black box, really not available for scrutiny. And this has been going on since 1986. Who benefits? Well, the primary beneficiaries have been major developers. And, for example, there are over 40 projects in the loop. Now, we're talking about Chicago's, the heart of Chicago, business district, the loop. Over 40 projects have received $848 million. And some of those high-rises have been sold or flipped. So when that happens, we act as the unwitting banker for trillionaire developers. So we're talking about Tisch and Spare and other kinds of firms that are, you know, are traded on the stock market and are, you know, global businesses who buy and sell buildings for $250 million at a pop. And if the TIF money is involved, that's straight to the bottom line of the seller. So if we gave a developer $20 million, say, to build a high-rise office building, you know, in 2004 or what have you, and then a few years later the market has improved and he sells that building for $100 million, he makes the profit, but he also takes our $5 or $10 million with him. This happens over and over again, and so there are projects all over the city that are. We're talking about Sears Tower. The guys who bought the Sears Tower got $8.5 million. We're talking about the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Coca-Cola, United Airlines, FedEx, Target, Home Depot, Walmart. There's a very long list, and the question is, you know, to people in these communities where these projects show up, did they know that they were subsidizing these projects? So it may be that in a certain community, when a Home Depot shows up, people are glad, like, oh, good, there's a Home Depot. I can shop for my hardware needs. That's convenient. You know, before I would have to drive a half an hour or whatever, you know, far away to get to a Home Depot. So they may be pleased that a Home Depot is in their neighborhood, but they didn't realize that that Home Depot got $6-10 million property tax money to be there.
Right, and there's no guarantee that people in their community will, one, get the contracts to help build and stock that store, or two, be able to work there. And, you know, the sad thing is if you talk to the folks in the city and you ask them, well, how do we know? You know, I live in Lawndale, and every area is within a TIF. We had a meeting with the city, and we asked them, you know, how many folks from zip code 60623 or 24, which are the two zip codes in the community, actually work in those TIFs. They couldn't produce a number, but yet when you go to the city's financials, you know, especially under Mayor Daley, they would tell you X number of jobs were created. So,
yeah, it's
so
a
what's
lie.
Been your, well, yeah, what's been your
lie.
Experience here?
Well, there is no way to prove it. There is no evaluation process. It's self-reporting. So the Illinois PIRG, Public Interest Research Group, did a report called Jobs and TIF from 2012, and they just were able to get access to 21 projects that were funded, say, from the years 2000 to 2010. And these projects all had been promising.
Tom, let me ask you to hold that. I just want to give folks the call-in number so if they have questions, then we can continue from there, okay? All righty. So if you have any questions, we're talking with Tom Tresser. Tom is the co-founder of the TIF Illumination Project. He's got some wonderful information. If you have questions, call in at 347-884-8121. Again, the number is 347-884-8121. Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Well, anyway, PIRG did this report, and they looked at 21 projects over a 10-year period that were all supposed to have promised 200 jobs or more, and they tried to do the paperwork to find, you know, as best they could, and they gave half of the projects B-minus to F, for compliance, and like
D
five
is in
projects
David,
got a
right?
B. D is in David, all the way down to F as in failure. Like there's no records. So this report is basically saying we really don't know. I mean, there's no way with the scant records that businesses do provide us, they seem to be not keeping their promises on jobs, and there's very little clawback, so there's very few instances where the city would do some kind of due diligence and say, hey, you promised 100 jobs or whatever, and you didn't deliver. Give us our money back. I think we've got two or three instances where that's happened. So this money is a one-way street. Once it leaves us to go to these projects, kiss it goodbye. Now, they funded border bookstores that, of course, went out of business. We've funded the building of the new Sears down in the Loop, but then Sears moved there, you know, they closed it. So, you know, again, who's planning what for who? Whose brain is behind all this that says this is a smart way to use public money? So another question that people should be asking is, you know, what is Chicago's master plan for prosperity? And I would say we don't have one.
And that's true.
So
that
you don't have
very
one.
True.
So you don't have one. What you do have is a history of clout, corruption, thuggishness, and incompetence. Insider game, insider politics, pay-to-play deals. That's what we do have in Chicago. So what they pass off as community development, what they pass off as prosperity building, is really more insider deals that benefit a handful of people. The same construction companies, the same sort of deal makers, lawyers, the people who move the paper around, the financiers. Mm-hmm. The TIF program has generating huge debt, you know, from the deals that we've done in the past. And so just last year, we paid off almost $90 million in fees to the bank, to Wells Fargo Bank and the Amalgamated Bank. Now, there's some people who would consider Wells Fargo a criminal, because they have been already through the justice system for fraud. And, you know, they paid off lots of fees to the SEC. But we're doing business with them in a huge basis. So there's a whole, again, there's a whole sort of hidden side to Chicago's finances where we're sort of in bed with these banks for large fees for deals that really, I don't think, are beneficial to the city. Now, at the same time, the Chicago Teachers Union is making a big stink about toxic swap deals, where, again, the Board of Education entered into some bad deals. And the consequence is we paid almost $1 billion in fees. So what I would say to people, you know, to try to put an arc around all this story is the TIF project, the research that we've done, is only part of a larger conversation, which is started by asking the question, is Chicago broke? Because if we're broke, how do we shower billions of dollars on developers? Where'd that money come from? Well, it came from you, the property owners. So we can't really be broke, can we, if we paid banks $1 billion in fees for bad deals? You know, we can't really be broke if we sold our meters to Morgan Stanley for $1 billion and they're going to make $10 billion in profit. So that's our meters. I mean, these are things that are, you know, right here in the city, right here that we see every day. So that's why I don't believe we're broke. Or some people have said we're broke on purpose. I've heard that. We were talking about that earlier, Valerie, and that's the phrase you used. And I think there's some truth to that. So we're either broke on purpose or we're not really broke. And if that's the case, then we're in a whole other place in the city of Chicago, you know, in terms of possibilities.
Okay, we've got 4 minutes, and if there are any callers, please call in. The number is 347-884-8121. Again, that number is 347-884-8121. And Tom, thank you so much. I guess in closing, what are some of the things you suggest that we can do? We acknowledge that there's a problem with the TIF system. Do you recommend any fixes? If the system
well,
can be fixed.
I invite everyone to go online. We're doing a TIF 101 webinar on Tuesday, February 2nd. And so people can go to tiffreports.com and get the link to that. And for people who are listening to this later on, that material will still be available, you know, so you can still take advantage of it. So get educated about this. That's the first thing. It's a big deal. It's, as I say, it's about $500 million of property taxes every year. But then call your alderman. If you're living in the city of Chicago, you should call your alderman and ask them to help us find where the $1.4 billion is in that was sitting in TIF accounts at the beginning of this calendar year, last calendar year, 2015. Our research said that there was almost $1.5 billion in property taxes sitting in TIF accounts. We've asked the mayor to his face, where is that money? And they refused to say, tell us where it is. So call your alderman, call the mayor's office, and ask them to come clean with that money. Where is it? And it should be released back to the use for the various units of government that need it. Don't ask us to set tax. I mean, it's kind of almost too late in a way, because the mayor pushed through $500 million tax increase, property tax increase, with very little pushback. So we're paying more, and we still don't know what happened to the $1.5 billion that he was sitting on a year ago.
I hope it doesn't happen again.
And so, yeah.
I can remember he publicly mentioned during his town hall meeting on the budget that he would share that information. So apparently it has not yet materialized.
Well, I sat with Alexandra Holt, the city's budget director, and she purported to answer that question by saying, everything I'm looking for is online. But we FOIA'd all that, and they pushed back and saying they can't many of the items we're asking for because it's private, it's privileged information, it's things that are under discussion. So they can't reveal the details of where this money is, but they're still saying it's all spoken for, it's locked up, it's tight. You can't, you know, all that $1.4 billion is not available to solve problems. It's all spoken for, but they refuse to explain how and why, which goes back to my original claim that this is a slush fund controlled by the mayor, driven by power and clout, and has nothing to do with economic development or justice.
Okay, Tom, we've got to go. Thank you so much for tuning in to Nonprofit U, and thank you, Tom, for being a guest.
You're welcome.
The show The show will be available for download within about an hour, and be sure to tune in next week when we have Brenda Palm-Barber, the CEO of the North Fondo Employment Network. Looking forward to another lively discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, bye-bye.